This is the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Jim Santel, sitting in for Maggie today. This Friday, June 27th, a major day in the history of our nation as the Supreme Court doesn't end its term, but ends the time period, as it always does in late June, sometimes early July, for its issuance of these major decisions. It issued about 62, 63 opinions altogether, a 65-case docket altogether, and they're already beginning to animate and to fill and populate their docket for the next term, which begins on the first Monday of October. That's the 2025-2026 term. We've talked about some of those cases, but today, right now, we're talking about this major case that was issued by the Supreme Court just hours ago, Trump versus Casa, finding, as the Supreme Court says, that universal injunctions exceed the authority that Congress has given to federal courts to do. And so it's much broader than just the issue related to birthright citizenship, and indeed will almost certainly lead to a drastic reduction in the federal court's ability to check the White House on many of these kinds of executive orders that it has issued. Once again, as we indicated before the break, one option, of course, is a class action lawsuit. It's much more cumbersome in terms of putting it in place in any district court. You can also go into court in particular as to your own circumstances. And that's precisely what was argued during the course of the oral arguments on this case. You may indeed get a patchwork of understandings as one state does indeed acknowledge your citizenship based upon the place of your birth. Another state across the border may not do that, may require, again, going into court in all of those instances, not only to address your particular circumstance, but also those of others down the road. A lot to consume, a lot to consider down the road here. This opinion, of course, authored by Amy Coney Barrett, she delivers the opinion of the court on behalf of a 6-3 divided court. We've got joining in this opinion, John Roberts, he's the Chief Justice, Clarence Thomas, Sam Alito, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh. And we also have Clarence Thomas filing a concurring opinion. Gorsuch joins in that. Alito files a concurring opinion. Lots of them writing all sorts of things. We have three justices of the Supreme Court who take great exception to what the majority has done today. And indeed, the principal among those is Justice Sonia Sotomayor. She called the majority's decision a travesty for the rule of law, and indeed many others who are consuming, as we all are, digesting this opinion today, both inside and outside Washington, looking at the impact and viewing this as, quite candidly, a major blow to long-settled constitutional law, the ways in which we have done things in America. Many people saying that will create a dangerous patchwork, again, of rights across our nation in this particular area and arguably in other areas as well. Let's talk a little bit more about what some of the dissenters have said about this. Once again, we have Sonia Sotomayor, joined in a dissent by Elena Kagan, Ketanji Brown Jackson. She said that the majority played right into the president's hand, these are her words, by cutting back the ability of judges on lower courts to issue injunctions blocking Trump's policies nationwide. Now, what does she mean by that? Well, she said that the government has not asked for complete stays of the injunctions because to get that relief, she said, it would have to prove Trump's order narrowing birthright citizenship for children born on U.S. soil who don't have at least one parent with permanent legal status is likely constitutional. That's a lot. That's a lot of wonky legal stuff. It's basically saying that because of the way in which the majority has decided this case, it may not inure in the long term to the benefit of a president who would like his particular position to be the one that is adopted by the courts. Again, the Supreme Court not adopting his position. A lot of this is still pending in the appeals courts, as the president and the attorney general and others have acknowledged today. The attorney general, by the way, promising that this case will come back in some way to the Supreme Court in this coming term. That's virtually impossible to understand how that would happen. But Sonia Sotomayor, in all of that connection, goes on to say this. So the government instead tries its hand at a different game, she says, pointing to the Trump administration's bid to tear down nationwide injunctions. Basically, you failed to get your what you wanted in the major issue here, instead looking at this other issue. She goes on to say this: the gamesmanship in this request is apparent, and the government makes no attempt to hide it. Yet, shamefully, this court plays along. That's Sonia Sotomayor talking about the majority position here. She says, with a stroke of a pen, the president has made a solemn mockery of our Constitution. Rather than stand firm, the court gives way. Because such complicity, she says, should know no place in our system, I dissent. It is significant, once again, that she notes that her dissent is not with respect. Indeed, she read her dissent from the bench the second time that she's done that this term, which also underscores, when justices do that, the severity, the sincerity, the seriousness of what they're meaning to say. She read her dissent from the bench just this morning. We also, of course, have a dissent from Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, and she in many ways echoes what Sonia Sotomayor has also said about what happened today and the lack of content, lack of strength between the decision of the majority and even the concurrences to that. This is what Ketanji Brown Jackson has said. She said, it is important to recognize that the executive's bid to vanquish so-called universal injunctions is at bottom a request for this court's permission to engage in unlawful behavior. That's Ketanji Brown Jackson writing. She goes on to say this: when the government says, do not allow the lower courts to enjoin executive action universally as a remedy for unconstitutional conduct, what is actually being said is that the executive wants to continue doing something that a court has determined violates the Constitution. Please allow this. That is some solicitation. That's what Ketanji Brown Jackson, that's how she described what the Department of Justice, what the president has asked the Supreme Court to do, and what the Supreme Court has said. Ketanji Brown Jackson suggested the Constitution was designed to split the powers of a monarch between three governing branches to protect the American people from overreach. She said those core values are strangely absent from the majority ruling today. And she says, with deep disillusionment, I dissent. What she's talking about there are also the consequences of this. And recognize, in fairness, that there are people on all sides of the political aisle who oppose nationwide universal injunctions. Recognize that right now, the petitions in the federal district and appellate court, petitions, those pending in the courts, the judges around the country, they are attacking, they're challenging the petitions of this particular president, this particular administration. It may well be that if there is a future president who, for example, as Ketanji Brown Jackson and Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor say, if there is an executive order that says you can no longer own weapons in America, something that's plainly unconstitutional under the Second Amendment, if a future president, for example, were to say that by virtue of executive order, surrender all your guns, I'm directing you to do that, and a federal district court judge says, nope, you can't do that because that's in violation of the Second Amendment, the only applicability that it would have would be for the particular plaintiff in the case that's pending in front of that judge. Maybe a class action pending in front of that judge, but could not have national applicability, even though that is an issue, plainly, that should be resolved and is resolved now under the Second Amendment. That's the kind of thing that the justices in the dissent are calling to our attention, that this is not just applicable to a Donald Trump administration. It's applicable to future administrations as well. And had it been the law in the past, would have been applicable to other nationwide injunctions. We recall on the Maggie Dawn show and on other broadcasts of civic media, for example, the nationwide injunction entered by Judge Kaczmarek in the Northern District of Texas many years ago, finding stunningly that the FDA had not properly vetted mifepristone as a proper and safeguarded medical drug for the purpose of reproductive rights and accomplishing medical abortions under a doctor's care. He said that he found that the FDA's review of mifepristone was inadequate, and he embraced some scant evidence to the contrary, basically evidence that was discredited. And what Judge Kaczmarek did at that time was entered a national injunction preventing the use, the applicability, the purchase, the sale of mifepristone. Now, fairly promptly, that was rescinded by an appeals court, but it underscores in the opposite direction the consequences of today's opinion. In that instance, too, you could not have the kind of thing that Judge Kaczmarek entered. Many of you may say that that is a good thing. Others may say that's a bad thing. The point of this is that regardless of what your political views are, regardless of what your partisan views are, that this notion that there can be no instances, none whatsoever, even issues related to basic constitutional rights, freedom of speech, of religion, of assembly, press, those kinds of things, Second Amendment rights, all kinds of things that James Madison and John Adams also endorsed, but James Madison wrote in our Constitution that can and should have national applicability. That can no longer happen by virtue of a singular district judge finding that to be the case. And indeed, that was also a part of the argument. Indeed, during the course of that argument, Amy Coney Barrett had said that maybe, just maybe, we've got to craft a rule, something that she does not do today, craft a rule that says in circumstances where there are those plainly colossal national, nationwide issues that are of a constitutional dimension, maybe in those instances, we can have district court judges, maybe appeals court judges, entering these kinds of things subject to appellate review. But maybe in many other cases, it applies just locally, regionally, maybe to a district, maybe to the particular litigants before a judge or a series of judges. Maybe in those instances, those should not be applied nationally. That's difficult to do. That's difficult to craft and order a rule that is applicable to district court judges and how they handle their cases. But that's probably the role of a Supreme Court, to tell lower court judges how they're supposed to act. And that's one of the other problems, of course, out there these days with not a case here. This is not a case involving the shadow docket. This is not a case involving an emergency application, although it was fast-tracked by the Supreme Court. But in those cases, and about 19 of them in which we are seeing a Supreme Court not give direction to lower courts to tell them what it means, to tell them what, for example, deportation means. Their failure, for example, earlier this week to give to Judge Brian Murphy clear direction on what he can and cannot do now with respect to some deportees who are in Africa. That, too, underscores the need for the Supreme Court to be specific and to give rules out there. That's what we lack today. That's what we do not have today. We've got a bright line rule instead. When we come back here in the Maggie Dawn Show, we'll talk more about the Supreme Court, mentioning some of the other cases decided by your United States Supreme Court in its major decisions of just earlier today here on the Maggie Dawn Show.